This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. We are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, West Washington Avenue, 3939 Washington Avenue. Come on out, hang out with us. Good spot, and not just a good spot to hang out with us or to get great food, great drinks, but also a spot in which you can win some prizes. We got two $25 Visa gift cards, as well as in the 5 o'clock hour, the big one, your chance to win a pair of tickets to go see your Houston Texans take on the Miami Dolphins, and as well as you'll have a chance to get a pair of wristbands as well, courtesy of our good friends at Bud Light, as you can get some food and some drinks for tailgating prior to that game. And that'll be a big one, as the Dolphins are starting to surge a little bit, and that starts that big three-game stretch as they face the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Ravens in a 10-day stretch there. You get a chance to go to that first one there as well. So all you got to do, put your name in our raffle box. If you come in, you see it right at the table, and you'll have a chance to win. So come on out and do that, as we'll be hooking folks up here over the next few hours. We're here till 6 o'clock, by the way. TV's everywhere, so you can come out and hang out till then or even after, as a interesting Monday Night Football game between the Steelers and the Browns. You never know what the hell you're going to get with Jameis.
Water has no soul.
That's right. And it's supposed to be crazy weather, snow and stuff in Cleveland. So it'll be an interesting one to watch. You can come out here and watch that one as well. All right, Nick Caserio, he spoke earlier on Payne and Pendergast, and he talked about the Texans, who have been in a lot of one-score games. They've had a couple of blowouts last week against the Patriots earlier this year, but a lot of their games have been very, very close games in the fourth quarter, one possession games, and games in which, Clint, they have made the play or made plays and prevented the other team from making plays. And you can remember many of those games. The Buffalo game comes to mind as well. Here was Nick Caserio talking about that a bit, the way they are able to operate in one-score games.
Overall, with the league,
I think it was week 8 or 9. I'm just going through some things, and I think it's at one point there's like 67 games that were one score games, which was like an NFL record for that time. So I think what you see, it speaks to the parity of this league, how competitive this league is, how good the competition is on a week to week basis. And we've talked about it on this show. Each game typically comes down to a handful of plays. Whichever team makes them is probably going to be the team that puts them in a position to win the football game. And we're fortunate that we've done that 7 times. 7 wins really doesn't get you anything in this league. So we understand we got to play good football on a week to week basis and just, you know, go out there and execute with some level of consistency and hopefully put ourselves in position at the end of the year where we're in a decent spot.
All right, there it is. And listen, they've had success the last couple of years since DeMeco has gotten here in these close games, these one-score games, against the really good teams, Clint, and they're coming, right? We just talked about tickets to that Dolphins game, but that Dolphins game, the Ravens, the Chiefs coming that three-game stretch in the postseason. Right now, the Texans would be hosting the Los Angeles Chargers in the first round if the season ended today. How confident are you? How confident are you that the Texans are the team that can make plays down the stretch?
That's the key here, Ron. That's the jewel in this Caserio audio to me. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lean into these one score games. I absolutely hate it to hear people talk about it. I mean, you can look at the half. I don't know the exact percentage, but I'd be willing to bet you that half of those one score games should not have been one score games. Either because the team played so poorly or because the team was coasting down in the fourth quarter down the stretch and knew one score wasn't going to hurt them. So I don't want to get into the one score game stuff, but I think the point that Nick makes is spot on for the Texans, because when you get to the games that matter, and I'm talking about Baltimore, Kansas City, potentially Miami, damn sure playoffs, when you get to those games against better football teams, the question is what you ask. Do you trust the Houston Texans to make those plays in those monster games this year with what you've seen? And I'm not there with the Houston Texans. And the crazy thing is I was unbelievably confident last year in their ability to do that. I was taken aback by what we watched in the Baltimore game. You know, that was the game for me that was like, wow. I mean, I was shocked.
The playoff game.
Yes. If something like that happened, the Baltimore playoff game last year, if something like that happened right now to the Texans, it wouldn't shock me one bit based on what we've seen this year offensively. My confidence level right now is down in a sense. Like Caserio said right there, the game's going to come down to a handful of plays and whether you make those plays or not. And right now, whether we're talking about the inaccuracies of C.J. Stroud, or we're talking about the offensive line's inability to protect, or we're talking about, for whatever reason, through this year at times, we've seen everybody not named Nico Collins have a real problem separating, right? I mean, so there's a handful of problems that did I mention Bobby Slowick and some of the play calling, aggressive play – play calling stuff, like there's just a handful of things that exist this year that have, I guess, maybe exposed the Texans to a certain degree of where I know my confidence level is not where it was last year, and I do not feel as comfortable as I want to feel with the Texans in a sense of making those plays against some better teams.
Yeah, Tyler, I'm interested in where you are on this. Where is your confidence level? Like, comes down to it against the good teams in the league, the playoff level teams, that they can make the plays, that they can make the plays that's needed in a tight game, especially late in the game. What's your confidence level in the Texans against good teams?
Yeah, I get a lot of what you were just kind of laying out there, Dirty Red. That's not lost on me. I think we're all frustrated at different times with those things you just listed off of this Texans team this year in this kind of circumstance we're discussing right now. But at the end of the day, for me, if you have a franchise quarterback, and if we really believe that is what C.J. Stroud is becoming in Houston, or is already, then I think, you know, not to be too cliche, but any given Sunday. Like, I do think that those plays can be made now. I haven't seen a whole lot of that this season, but maybe that next Sunday is the one, you know?
I think what you're talking about, Tyler and Clint, maybe this is, in a way, what you're saying, and you gave it. It's not just one reason why, but my confidence in CJ just going and take the ball and just going to go make a play,
yes,
is not the same as it was last year. Like, that Bengals game last year, Bucks that game. Tampa game last year.
Second Cleveland game.
Yeah, like, but in particular, those games against, I would say at the time, both of those teams were, at the time, playoff level. The Bucks did make the playoffs, and the Bengals with Joe Burrow were a different team. That it doesn't seem like that same guy is playing quarterback right now, and as I know, some people are on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch are going to be beside themselves with saying it. It's
would
not
die
just
for
that
CJ. Everyone knows that.
I know you would, Dom, and it's not just the fact that it is all CJ. I think there are a lot of factors that have allowed the Texans to arrive at this point. Because I'm just talking this up in my head. I'm thinking, with the game on the line, who would I rather be out there, the offense or the defense? Would I rather the defense have to try to stop Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Josh Allen and the Bills?
That's a good question. Put it like this. Against any of those teams you just mentioned, would you rather have a four-point lead, minute and a half left in the game, and your defense on the field, or would you rather one of those teams have a two-point lead and your offense backed up needing to get 40 or 50 yards to get in the field goal range?
And right now, I'd rather have the game and the defense's
hand. I agree.
I would have never thought I would say that coming into the year. I wouldn't have thought, and I definitely damn sure wouldn't have said that last year. And the defense wasn't bad last year, but it's just a different feel for a lot of different reasons, from the quarterback to the offensive coordinator to the offensive line. And I didn't say this in any order. I'm just saying the different issues.
Yeah, you're just putting them out there.
The injuries or whatever. It just feels different.
Yeah, no, look, I agree. I mean, we got Tank Dell's dropping touchdowns. I mean, we got Dalton Schultz is not who he was. It doesn't appear to be this year as effective as he was last year. So, yeah, there's layers to it. But I just – when I heard Nick say that, it's going to come down to making this handful of plays. I love it, because that's what I've been – that's why, to be honest with y'all, like, that is exactly why I'm so critical of whether it's game management or it's drop touchdowns or it's missed throws, or because ultimately – that is what's going to determine whether you can make a run in the playoffs, whether it's two games, three games, or four games, whether you can get all the way or you can just make a run deep. It's ultimately going to come down to a handful of plays, and if you're throwing out routes short of the chains, you know, and allowing the other team to keep timeouts, if you're dropping touchdowns, if your quarterback's throwing interceptions in the red zone, if he's missing two or three throws in a game that are killing drives, you know, that ultimately is what's going to decide this team's ability to truly be a playoff caliber team with a true Super Bowl caliber, expectations. And I just, when I heard Nick say that earlier, I said, you know, where do I sit with, how good do I feel about that? I still feel fine. Don't get me wrong. I feel like we got a shot. But I'm not anywhere close to where I was.
Yeah, and I know people are losing their minds talking about you guys are crazy. I still have confidence in CJ.
Oh, my God.
I just not the same level. I still have confidence in them. Like, for me, an example is the Buffalo game. they won that game, but, you know, the offense, you know, almost did things to shoot itself in the foot, right? Like, they had a chance to make plays, and then they, you know, there ended up being a penalty that took them out of field goal range. And when you say out of field goal range, like, we're talking like 67 yards. That, like, you know, that's probably the level of confidence they had in their kicker at the time. And then the defense comes on and makes the plays. I know the Bills did stupid things, but the defense helped force those stupid things to become an issue. And then the offense got the ball back and got it to an area where, I mean, I guess they made enough plays to make it a 59-yard field goal, you know, to get it in the play. So, like, that's kind of an example of, like, I have more confidence that Will and Stingley and Hunter and Alshire, well, that they'll come up and make a play.
Yeah.
I'll follow
that up with, because you had asked the question and we discussed it yesterday. Like, what are the next couple of games for the Texans? You know, I think the next couple of games are you continue to take steps in the right direction as you did against Detroit, as you did against Dallas. And I think that changes significantly. I know for me personally, my comfort level or my confidence level changes significantly if they go out there and keep stacking days of Bobby, you know, designing and planning and play calling the way that he has the last two games versus the aggressive stuff the first nine. CJ goes out there and picks and chooses when he's going to work high to low versus low to high, and he protects his offensive line and hell himself along the way. The more they do that, the more, and I don't care about the opponent, the more they do that and put that on tape, the better I feel about their ability to, in the last seconds of the game, make the drive, make the handful of plays that are ultimately going to be the difference in getting to the second round, getting to the third round, potentially getting to a Super Bowl. And right now, I'm just I need to see more.
Yeah, I think it's fair. All right, coming up as we continue here, we're live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Avenue. I see the Bud Light ladies. They are here. They are here to you know, offer some extras, some extra goodies, some extra drinks, some extra things as well. My man, it's like clockwork every week here, boy. And you got a chance.
Tickets, baby.
You got a chance to win tickets. Win tickets and Visa cards as well. We'll be hooking somebody up in this hour right here, Washington Avenue, Buffalo Wild Wings on a little thirsty Thursday. Coming up, I think we did see a really good positive step. It's not cured, but a really good positive step on one of the biggest issues there is for the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up.
It's a thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
What's your thoughts on where the offensive line is now? This new offensive line that the Texans have now. They've clearly made some changes here. They have moved Juice Scruggs to left guard. By the way, is Juice Scruggs ever going to play center again?
I don't think so.
Is that they moved up in the second round to go get him to be the center? Is that done?
I think so.
Clearly, it feels like Jared Patterson. That feels like that he has gotten that spot.
Things are fixable.
But that's been
I'm gonna tell you. It was the Cowboys, and that is needs to be said. But
weak ass Cowboys.
I don't know that I've seen a center. I'm trying to think who all I've seen here. I ain't seen a center in a long time operate with that level. And obviously he's communicating well because everybody around him's playing better. But I like in terms of executing double teams, in terms of like arriving violently and finishing and things. Now it's not over the top because he's not a five star player. He's not a first round pick. He's not a big guy. But I mean, he is, with what he's been given and gifted, he's given it hell now, and it is noticeable. And so I don't know if he's that much better than Juice Scruggs physically, and it just shows, or if Juice slows when he has to do all the communications and all that kind of thing, but Jarrett Patterson at center is pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, and that's been the major move, right? That's been the major move that they've made. They've moved him to center into the lineup. We knew he was going to be in the lineup at some point after he had the concussion. Initially, he was at guard when they benched Kenyon Green, but they decided to put him at center and Juice at left guard. And look, this thing has gotten much better. I mean, when I say much better, Clearly it has. And I said this yesterday.
The arrow's pointed up.
It is. It is, Cal. And I said that about shout out to Cal and that and Hannah and that fireman outfit they were in today. Really
that
put it together.
Energy.
They had that. Yeah, they went. If you missed that, boy,
I didn't see it.
Oh, you got to check it out. They full fireman gear. You know, and Cal looked like he could run into a building.
What is the what was the?
It was for I forgot exactly what it
is
was.
Is it
for.
National Fireman Day or something?
It's not, something? It was a particular cause for a
first responder.
I can't remember what it was, and you can throw out as many of these as you want. I don't think it's going to jog.
It's not going to jog your memory. That's when you look over, you go, "Hey, idiot! Quit guessing! I told you I don't know. I don't remember.
I ain't got it." But it does. It looks like. I mean, you're just gonna strut in here in your Lions gear, ain't you? I mean, Philly, see how it look.
Hey, walk around here proud. Hell yeah,
you should be strutting in here.
But no. This group has gotten better, and I see some people here on text line and YouTube and Twitch talking about. Hey, man, listen. They were playing the Cowboys, and they still weren't great. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. Guys, this offensive line, I mean, it's not going to be great. It's not going to be great, and it is not going to be a strength. Like, at least not this year. And I think that is just something that you have to accept. The thought is, can it get to a space and a place where you can win with it? Can you win with the deficiency? Right? Can you do it? And what they have shown, and I would even say in the last two games. Now, there were some moments where they got their ass kicked at times. Juice Scruggs got his ass kicked by one of the interior linemen for a sack.
Oh, de-cleated.
Just one time. right? Zach Martin matched him on the other side. But and then some moments against the Lions, they got beat. But as you talked about, the combination of how Bobby Slowick handles it, how C.J. Stroud handles it, the return of Nico Collins, and what they're able to do, can it be good enough to survive? And I think that we are reaching a point, Clint, where they're at least good enough to survive and be workable. You can win it. What they were showing before, the Jets game, the Colts game, the Packers game, like, you ain't got no chance. You gave up 8 sacks in a game. And that wasn't the game in which CJ was pressured the most. The game you gave up 8 sacks. You couldn't do anything. At least what they're doing, and you would think with Patterson and Juice that there would be some way that them get better as they get more reps together on that line, that it does get better. But this, to me, is at least a space where they can survive and win with.
Yeah, I think. Look, I may be ahead of the train here, but I think there's a chance this can be a really good offensive line.
I do.
It's especially with the way they're trending. Here's the issue. The way they got the reputation of being a really bad offensive line, right, is that their offensive coordinator and their quarterback set them up for their job to be as difficult as it could possibly be in the NFL for 9 straight weeks.
Is Slowick losing it?
And they are not going to – they are not great. They are not good enough. They're not experienced enough. They don't communicate well enough. They're not physical enough to be set up like that and have success. They are good enough to be a really good offensive line with a play caller that keeps in mind that it's extremely difficult to pass protect 30 times a game with your quarterback holding the football and taking shots and trying to get the ball to the second level or even over the top of the defense. That's part of it. And a quarterback that Nick Caserio talked about again today. Hell, I've been trying to say it for 3 weeks, a month now, right? He's got to pick and choose when he takes his shot. You can't, every time you touch leather as a quarterback, you can't be hoping you take a shot or hoping you throw the ball 20 yards down the field plus. Can't do it, right? So I think the caveat is, if you've got an offensive coordinator that from a plan and play call perspective protects your offensive line. And if you've got a quarterback with the way he makes decisions and the way he plays the position protects his offense, which, by the way, 95% of the quarterbacks and offensive coordinators in the league that are worth a damn do that on a day-to-day basis, right? If that happens, in which they've spent two games doing it now, I think that they have a chance to be a really good offensive line with some work together, with a couple of games down the road, down the stretch here. I think they could be a really good offensive line in that kind of offense. They're not talented enough to be.
Because if you're not physical enough, if you struggle with communication, right? Like, I don't think you're ever going to be a great or a good offensive line. I think they can be protected and helped. And that's why I said I think they can be good enough.
Yeah.
That, to me, right? They just lack a lot of things. You could just bust a stunt on these guys at any moment and give them hail, right? So I don't know if they're ever going to be a good, but they can be good enough.
Well, I think, Ron, let me put it to you this way. Like, I think they can be really good from a stat perspective. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if you take the Detroit game, you take the Cowboy game, and then let's say we go the next two games in a month. It wouldn't shock me at all if we're looking at this offense and they go, and I don't know where they stand right now after one game or two of those games, but it wouldn't shock me at all if we don't look up and they go, hey, man, the Texans offensive line have allowed fewer pressures than, 75% of the league. Like, this is a top 20-25% of the league offensive line from a pass protecting standpoint. And in reality, there's no way Jarrett Patterson added to this thing makes these guys that much better. The reality is it was a three-pronged attack, right? It was the OC, it was a quarterback, and Jarrett Patterson communicating better. But the offensive line statistically is going to look – they're not going to. I will not be shocked if – the Texans offense, if the Texans don't rattle off some wins and the offensive line isn't looked at and discussed nationally as to why.
Yeah, they've already been better. And that's like, that's what I said. Like, they couldn't survive before. That was just, it was every drop back, get on your horse, CJ.
Yep.
Damn near. And now, no, there's more. Now, we will learn more this week because this is more of a defensive line that could give you problems. We will learn more this week, but I think that is a place to be more positive in, which is the biggest issue for the Texans, and feel better about it. Coming up, the college football poll is out. Texas is number 3, and A&M is number 15. They play coming up November 30th. I got two things I want to discuss about that game. We'll discuss.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's that next.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
November 30th, a big day, by the way, coming up. After this segment, we will be hooking somebody up with a $25 Visa gift card, all right? After this segment. We have a very aggressive promo staff that
the
wants to make sure
throw in the city.
We got a promo staff that wants to make sure we get it done here. $25 Visa gift card be coming up here in the next segment. So if you're in the building and you have not signed your name and put it in our raffle box, make sure you do so. We have our Bud Light ladies roaming around here. You don't have to wave to the camera. We have them roaming around here in the building. They will they hook you up. My guy here has been hooked up. Reggie's been hooked up. Reggie from In the Loop is in the building. You can come out here and say hi to him. He told me just earlier he is really looking to have a conversation about the Texans special teams. So if you want to come in, Reggie's in here. He wants to really have a conversation about the Texans special
team. And they say no.
And Reggie's right here for you to talk about that, from the punting, kicking, all of that. So come out and talk to Reggie about
Tommy Townsend, game changer.
Yes, Tommy Townsend. He was just talking about. He called him TT, I believe.
Hey, so, I don't know what y'all are talking about. So don't include me, Reg, in this whatever's going on here. But hey, Tommy, don't take no mess now.
He really does.
Hey, Tommy. We had him on the post game show, and he's all nice guy, you know, just cool, calm, collected. I mean, boy, you listen. They mic somebody that might get too close to Tommy. He's out there MFing folks.
Bad MF-er.
That's what Tommy is. What's wrong with these punters, man?
Hey,
and they just saw Pat McAfee and just let it loose. Huh?
Yeah, hell yeah! I mean, I like it, man. I'd rather have that than the opposite.
Yeah.
Great hair too.
But yeah, Reggie's ready for that. So come on out, have a good time, and enjoy yourself. It's a good time out of here. Here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Avenue. Come on out. All right, I got a couple of thoughts about this game coming up between Texas and Texas A&M. All right, as long as either one of them don't blow it. All right, Texas, don't blow it against Kentucky at home, and A&M, don't blow it in the Plains against Auburn. Don't blow it.
Giggle.
Make sure you win these games so that game can matter November 30th. But here's a couple of things I want to know, and I know you two are equipped to answer these, and many people are equipped to talk about this as well. There he is, pilot in the building.
Hey, ring, baby.
The one thing is, for me, is Texas the clear-cut better team here, right? Like, is this a situation where...
It's hard to say, given their competition this year on the schedule.
Okay, and even though I know where you're going, where you're coming from in this, your heart is not pure on this.
It's not, but I really wasn't trying to be facetious either.
But it's a fair thing to say with the competition. We thought their schedule would be a little bit more difficult than it is, Clint. But what it's shown, their best win is against Vanderbilt. And when they played Georgia, another playoff team, at home, they didn't look like they belonged on the same field with them for most of the game. But in this space, is it clear cut that Texas has the better team over A&M?
No.
So it's not clear cut there. It's even though they've been in the top 10, they were ranked number one for long stretches. It's not clear cut.
No, it's not. I don't. I mean, I just watched Texas up close and personal play Arkansas, and I watched them get pushed around up from the offensive side of the football. You know, defensively, you know, I think they're better than they were better than I expected. Offensively, they left a lot to be desired. I don't think that it is like if you put a gun to my head harder, you know,
scrotum,
other region, I would probably take Texas just because I do think they have a quarterback advantage, and the quarterback advantage is significant in my opinion, because you've got like A&M's got two dudes that are nothing alike, so the offense has to drastically change when you play one over the other. So I think there's a little bit of a, hey, who are we there offensively? And as I said a month ago, that really scares me with A&M, but it's the only concern that I have. I think everywhere else, not everywhere else, the wide receiver room is completely different, and Texas is significantly better. You know, defensively, you know, I think it's a great matchup. So I don't think it's convincing
it's clear-cut, one way
or the other. I'll tell you this.
Because the reason why I ask that, like when you take a look at the Georgia-Ole Miss matchup, I think Georgia clearly was the better team there, but Ole Miss had to do some other things. Lane had to coach and come up with a game plan. They had to use the home field advantage as big.
I think with a good in-depth conversation, it would be hard for anybody to land that A&M's a better football team overall. I mean, just again, it starts.
It doesn't mean they can't win.
It starts with the quarterback play, and then you get to Steve Sarkisian and his ability to scheme things up. Is Colin Klein is good, but is he in that same category? Defensively, I think they're very comparable. So I don't. You know, it's just not as clear cut as I thought it was going to be. I'll be honest.
Beginning of the season, it was thought to be clear cut.
Yes. I thought I was high on A&M, but I was also high on Texas, and I would say that I'm probably right about where I was with A&M. I feel pretty good about them being getting to the college ball playoffs and taking advantage of what I thought at that point was going to be a softer schedule, and. I've come down a little bit on Texas, so I think Texas has closed the gap. And the fact that this game means what it means is absolutely beautiful for everybody in the state of Texas. I've always said this from jump, and I like to think that I'm somewhat reasonable. I'm not everything's better and bigger in Texas. I'm not one of those guys that screams. I believe it, but I don't scream it from the mountaintops.
Yeah, I was about to say it is, though.
Well, I believe it, but I mean, I got buddies that scream it from the mountaintop like they want to fight people that aren't from Texas. I'm like, hey, man, relax a little bit. But I don't believe that. But I will put the A&M, an outsider, no skin in the game, I will put the A&M-Texas rivalry up against any rivalry in college football.
God bless Texas.
And I feel like over the years, because it hadn't been played, it's kind of been pushed to the wayside. And people almost turn their nose up at me when I say that, because there are some big ones out there, right? But the fact that the first time we get this in a long time, and it's a game that could potentially get A&M in the college football playoffs, potentially knock Texas out, even though I'm not sure that'll happen. Texas may, with that brand, may still sneak in. As one of the
enlarged. But it's coming. If they lose, that what Tyler was talking about, that schedule comes into play now.
Oh, yeah.
Up against
those
other two lost teams.
Absolutely.
They're very Penn State-ish, to be honest.
The interesting thing is that they have the committee over the years, they've done both things, right? That one that would benefit Texas, one that doesn't benefit Texas. You've seen them take an Ohio State team and put them in a four-team playoff after losing to a 6-6 Virginia Tech football team and having a Big Ten schedule that's pretty forgiving, relatively speaking, before Oregon and everybody joined, right? They've shown the ability to take that big brand, give them the benefit of the doubt, and let them get in. So I'm not sure that a loss to A&M and a two-loss Texas team completely knocks them out of the college football playoffs, but it very well could, because there's been twice this year where teams have lost and they've dropped 8 spots or 9 spots in the ranking, which that would put Texas right there on the fringe of that 12 or 13 spot, which would cause some problems. So I don't know what to think about if A&M does win this football game. I, as a fan and as a Texan, I'm just glad that this game, when it's front and center for all of America to see, it is a game that means so much to the country, not just Texas, you know, Longhorns and Aggies. This is big time, man. This is great.
And my other thought is, with that, because I heard you, I ain't put you up, but you on Monday, you came in as we were planning the show, and you talked to Tyler, boy, if y'all don't beat Texas coming up when y'all play Texas, after you watch them play against Arkansas, they're at Kyle Field in College Station, one of the best home field advantages at all of college football, at night, first one in a long time.
Got some Southern blood flow, man.
Who should win this game? Like, you're looking at this, who should win this game?
It's hard to not say Texas should win the game when you're talking about what are they,
even
number,
on the road.
Number, yeah, I mean, look, I don't need to see the line, but I'd put money on A&M before I'd put money on Texas. But if we're just talking big picture, you're talking about the number three team in the country. You're talking about a team that's been ranked number one through four or five all year long, and has probably been the favorite as the season went along to be number one. I mean, it's hard to say that they shouldn't win this football game. But when you look at the matchup, you mentioned Kyle Field, that is a huge advantage.
Yes.
And then you look at Texas's style of play. They are gun, spread the football, spin it around the park. Kyle Field is going to be a huge factor there. Then you look at the strength of A&M. The strength, it's going to be strength on strength. It's going to be A&M's defense, and particularly their defensive front, trying to disrupt what Sarkisian and Ewers want to do on offense. I think it's a great matchup. And in College Station, I can't think of a scenario where Texas A&M is going to have a better opportunity to knock off the Longhorns in a time when it means as much as it means right now.
Yeah, it feels like to me, from what we've watched, like it feels like if I'm Tyler, I'd be very, very disappointed if they lost, and not in a sense of like, hey man, we went up against the number three team in the country.
The quarterback situation and the lack of explosion, twitch, playmaking at the wide receiver position is going to be huge. Because I feel like this is going to be a game that A&M may even show to be the better team. But when you look at it, you go, Quinn and his crew and Sark were able to put up points, and A&M's offense was completely inept.
Do you think A&M's defense can do what Georgia's defense did to Texas?
Absolutely. Can they do to right. Texas what they did to LSU in the second half? Absolutely. Right. I watched Arkansas. Defense have success against them.
They played Georgia. Georgia's defense, they couldn't do anything with.
Yeah.
And that's my wonder is with A&M. Obviously, the strength is their defense. Now, you know, they can't have the quarterback play like they had against the first game of the season against Notre Dame. But you would hope that they don't do that. That's why, to me, if this thing was in Austin, maybe you'd feel different. But this thing is at A&M. To me, I think that's a big spot think almost they should win.
It's just going to boil down to
be nuts.
After this football game, is does A&M – the question that's going to be answered to me is, does A&M have a quarterback on campus that they can move forward with?
Got to grow up quick, Marcel. Let's go.
That's it. I mean, and I don't care how he gets it done. I don't care how or whether it's pretty or not. But do you have a quarterback that is skilled enough, both in the run game and the pass game, that can go out there and control a game, score enough points to beat a team, even though your defense is playing, even with your defense playing great? Do they have a guy that shows enough promise? Or are you looking up and going, all right, Elko, you got to go find the next million-dollar college quarterback, and his ass better be in College Station next year. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately where I think this game lands for Aggie fans out there.
What you got coming up?
Well, Nick Caserio spoke. He was with Payne and Pendergast this morning, and he had several nuggets. I pulled about four or five of them. But I think the biggest priority for the Houston Texans moving forward was addressed by Nick Caserio with the fellas, Payne and Pendergast. I'm going to tell you what that is, and we are going to cuss and discuss the number one priority for your Houston Texans moving forward. This one's big, folks.